sex is biological, and generally there's two categories there, male or female, which has provided some difficulties for a lot of folks who were born with more ambiguous genitalia that isn't easily recognizable from a more biological sense as either male or female. So I guess you could say that maybe there's three sexes. Gender is more of the performance of sexuality, of expression within a society. Just because someone is maybe has one certain biological sex, their gender expression will be very different. And we all exist somewhere on a spectrum of our own individualized combinations of masculinities and femininities that we all possess. And so while someone could look a certain way and present a certain way that reads symbolically to certain cultural social cues, inside they might be very different.
Lindsay, it sounds complicated sometimes.
It is. You really opened a can of worms with that question. But I see transgender folks as gender radicals. They're on the extreme of the gender spectrum, and transgender people prefer to be living in a body that sex differently from how they were born.
The conference here is about healthcare issues.
Mm-hmm. So the biggest issue there is access. Knowledge about transgender from a medical perspective has really been ramped up, I would say, in the last 20 years. But that's mainly been in urban centers, in the Seattles, in the San Franciscos, in the LAs, in the New Yorks. So in more rural locations, such as Montana, access to good medical care has been in a deficit. Now, what's happened over the last 10 or so years is increasing numbers of providers have been providing hormone replacement therapy for their patients, patients that they've had that then went on to request this and they felt comfortable with that patient, so they just started doing it. But there's been very little research on the effects of hormones on transgender folks. So the majority of the research has been primarily around the effects of hormone replacement therapies for postmenopausal women. So in that, there's a lot of barriers to accessing information and accessing really good care. The main mission of this conference is to provide training on more advanced topics within transgender care, such as younger folks, teens before they hit puberty, to block puberty from happening and allow them to transition into the gender expression identity and even potentially biological sex that they wish to be, that they feel that they are. And also older folks. There's less information on elderly people and how transitioning can affect their bodies. Also post-operative care. How do you take care of someone after they've had a gender reassignment surgery? The knowledge just is not here in Montana. By bringing in doctors who are at the top of their field nationwide here to Montana to train our local docs on these concepts, we'll later on provide more access to folks living in Great Falls.
How many people are seeking out this care?
Well, from our approximations, we believe that there's around 850 to 1,000 trans-identified individuals in Missoula County alone.
How do you figure that?
That was done literally by doing extensive field work, but it wasn't easy because there aren't statewide stats on that. So it was a lot of calling around. The other thing is, there's no way to know for sure if all of those folks are actually seeking care. There's a lot of issues in the transgender community around insurance and finances that make it even more difficult to access care that they need.
Speaking of, what about the Affordable Care Act? Are any of these issues covered under that?
Is trans covered under the Affordable Care Act? Do you know?
So my name is Erin Armstrong. I'm here from San Francisco as a special guest for the conference. So under the Affordable Care Act, there are several different things happening that affect trans individuals. A lot of the insurance that is being provided through the exchanges is trans-inclusive. And then there's also been a movement at the state level that's supported by the Affordable Care Act to strip away the anti-trans clauses. So, like, for example, a lot of insurance companies right now will have a specific clause that will say, we don't cover anything that is transgender-related. Even though I could get a doctor to say that something is medically necessary, my insurance will still deny it because they have that clause. That's what's becoming illegal, and that's really where the big impact for the trans community is in the Affordable Care Act.
Erin and or Lindsay, what would you say to somebody who says this is such a small group of people, healthcare right now is so difficult to get, it's so expensive, maybe it should not be part of the Affordable Care Act.
So I would say, what kind of country is that that doesn't want to take care of their most marginalized group of people?
I think the biggest issue here is that we must champion choices in healthcare above all else. And I think individuals' choice to have autonomy over their physicality is the issue at stake here and something that we need to protect.
How do you bring yourself to seek out this particular kind of health care? I mean, is it a brave act just to seek it out to begin with?
Yeah. So for a lot of trans people, one of the first steps in transitioning is actually speaking to a medical provider about those options. Coming out as trans is a very different experience than coming out as lesbian or gay.
Why?
Because it has a medical component to it in the transition. So like if you're coming out as gay or something like that, you're not medicated for it. But if you're transitioning as a transgender individual, you are. You're getting hormone replacement therapy. You're going through the process of medically transitioning your gender. And that's something that is really unique to the trans community. That's why there's such a need for appropriate health care within the trans community, because it is something that is necessary for this community to actually go about living their lives in healthy and productive ways. So I can speak to like my own personal experience, but as a trans person, when I was younger, dealing with the conflict that was being generated between my own internal gender and what I was being forced into by society created such despair within my own life. So I was struggling with depression, with drug use, all of these things, and it was coming from this deep-seated issue with my gender identity. By being able to actually address that, I've been able to move beyond all of those things and become a normal, healthy, productive member of society. But it was through transition. So when faced with a choice between living in depression, living in despair, or actually living my life the way that I want to live my life, it wasn't really an act of bravery. It was something I had to do.
The pressure put upon everyone in society to fit into a sex-designated box, either the hyper-feminine or the hyper-masculine ideals in our society, it's painful for everyone. And once you make it okay for a little girl to have a more masculine personality or be bossy, young girls are told that they're bossy and they need to be more submissive. And that's messages that they're getting from a really young age. And once you make it okay for everyone to be who they are, you make it okay for, a 5 or 6 year old girl to come out as a trans little boy. You make all of these things okay for people to really express themselves how they are in a supportive environment, and you get rid of all of the problems in the middle that are related to body image, that are related to all of these other insecurities trying to be some ideal that no one can meet.
Can a 5 or 6 year old know which way he or she is?
Absolutely, a 5 or 6 year old can know who they are. I knew who I was at 4. One of my first memories is wanting to be a girl. And that stayed with me throughout my entire life. And then when I come out at 20, everyone tells me it's a phase. Well, at that point, I'd been knowing for 16 years. Here I am 10 years later, and I'm still going. And these days, there are kids coming out and transitioning in preschool. And that's considered very young. And it's getting younger and younger and younger. But, I mean, if you talk to any parent, they're going to tell you that their child knew who they were from the time that they started walking.
Quick couple of questions, very personal, if you don't want to answer them.
Go for it.
I don't know if you're tight with your family, your parents, A, how did they handle it? And are you attracted to men or women, or is it more ambiguous than that? And how do you find a partner?
Those are three great questions. with my own family, so I was raised in a very strict Mormon household, which didn't go over well when I wanted to transition. And it's still rocky, so, we're working on it 10 years later. I do have family members who support me and love me for who I am, but, 10 years later, I'm still trying to work with my parents on basic things like pronouns and using my correct name and just 101 stuff. As far as sexual orientation goes, I mean, that's such a different thing than gender identity. Just because a man is attracted to other men, that doesn't mean that he wants to be a woman. So just because I want to be a woman doesn't mean I have to be attracted to men or women or things like that. So there's often the desire to bring the two together, but they're completely separate entities. And then as far as dating and things like that, that's such a complicated topic within the trans community. I mean, if you talk about not only where are you going to find somebody, who's okay with dating somebody who might be trans or who has a history of being trans? How do you disclose your trans status? At what point do you disclose your trans status? These are all very personal decisions that a person has to make. And so, you know, a lot of people turn to the internet because it's really easy to sort of put it out there, like, hey, look, I'm trans, and if you want to date me, then that's great. And people can see it right off the bat. It's a lot harder meeting people in person, like at a bar or at an event or something like that.
Without putting yourself at serious risk.
Yeah, that's true. And also a lot of times, like, people don't know. So, like, when I'm walking around on the street or if somebody approaches me at a bar, like, they don't know I'm trans. They can't tell if they're just, like, walking around. You know, so at some point, I have to tell them. That can go either way. Sometimes it goes great. Sometimes I've had really negative reactions as well. In the U.S., trans women specifically have one of the highest murder rates of any population in the country. There's homophobia, there's transphobia out there. A lot of it has to do with disclosure, you know, people finding out that you're trans when you're not out about being trans and them feeling betrayed and wanting to lash out and attack you.
Are you typically attracted more to men or women?
So if I were to speak from my own personal experience, it's funny because it's changed. Before transition, I thought, you know, I must be gay because I didn't know what trans was. I didn't know that was possible, but I knew I wanted to be a woman. I felt like a woman, so I figured I must be gay. I must be attracted to men. And I tried that out as a man dating men, and I was like, no, this is like, I am not gay. So I assumed I was into women. And then living as a woman, being socialized as a woman, hormones, all these different things, you know, at some point, a couple years in, I started, like, seeing guys on the street and being like, oh, you know, he's cute. And so it's been sort of a big, giant gray area for me. So I would say both at this point. Like, to me, gender doesn't matter.
It sounds exhausting.
It's a lot of possibilities.